too can help the Pope help others. With a small donation of great symbolic value, you can show your love and trust for the Holy Father. Let's all join the Pope in proclaiming the gospel and caring for those most in need, persons and families who are struggling, those suffering in wars, or who need humanitarian assistance. Go to www.peterspence.va and click on Donate Now.
Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, the 30th of June, Pope Francis prays that all those who desire war be converted to being planners of dialogue and peace. He also prays for peace, remembering especially Ukraine, Palestine and Israel, and Myanmar. And the Vatican cricket team takes on the England seniors team during its Faith and Light UK tour. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.
Imploriamo il Sacro Cuore di Gesù di toccare i cuori di quanto vogliono la guerra, perché si convertano a progetti di dialogo e di pace.
Addressing the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square for his Sunday Angelus, Pope Francis invited all those present to implore the Sacred Heart of Jesus to touch the hearts of those who desire war so that they may be converted to plans of dialogue and peace. He emphasised, as he often does, the importance of continuing to pray for peace in Ukraine, Palestine, Israel and Myanmar, as well as in the many other places where there is so much suffering because of war. Greeting pilgrims after the recitation of the Marian Prayer, Pope Francis also recalled today observance just one day after the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul of the liturgical commemoration of the first Roman martyrs, also known as the first martyrs of the Church of Rome.
Anche noi viviamo in un tempo di martirio, ancor più dei primi secoli.
We too, said the Pope, live in a time of martyrdom, adding even more so than in the early centuries. He explained that in various parts of the world, many of our brothers and sisters suffer discrimination and persecution because of their faith, thereby nurturing the Church.
Sosteniamoli con la nostra preghiera e lasciamoci ispirare dalla loro testimonianza di amore per Cristo.
Let us support them and be inspired by their testimony of love for Christ, concluded the Pope. As we just heard, Pope Francis asked especially that we not forget to pray for Ukraine, martyred Ukraine 2 years and 4 months on since of Russia full-scale invasion. In recent news from the conflict-stricken area, local authorities in Ukraine declared a day of mourning on Sunday after Russian missiles reportedly slammed into a town in southern Ukraine, killing seven civilians. Stefan Boss reports.
The horrors of Europe's deadliest conflict since World War II are revealed again. Witnesses saw bodies stretched out under picnic blankets in a park in the southern town of Vilniansk. Local governor Ivan Vedorov said that three children were among the seven dead. Besides those killed, at least 36 people were reportedly wounded in Saturday evening's devastating attack, which prompted local authorities to declare a day of mourning on Sunday. All the people helped. The wounded were loaded into cars, recalls store owner Andriy. I also took them out with my car, and people helped each other. It's very sad. Governor Vedorov clarified that a Russian strike damaged one or more shops, residential buildings, and an unspecified critical infrastructure facility in Vilniansk. The town had a population of around 14,300 before Russia's all-out invasion of Ukraine began in February 2022. In the aftermath of the Vilniansk attack, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called on Kiev's Western partners to bolster its air defenses and long-range munitions to deter Russian attacks. However, he also expressed hope. Speaking through an interpreter, he thanked the Vatican for helping with the release by Russia of 10 prisoners over the weekend, yet the devastation in Vilniansk underscored that the war isn't over, as Russian forces continue to occupy part of the province. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
The war between Israel and Hamas is another terrible conflict close to Pope Francis's heart. He has often called for a ceasefire and for the release of hostages taken by Hamas on the 7th of October. And much like today, during his Angelus, he often prays for peace in the Holy Land. Meanwhile, as Nathan Morley reports, the leader of Hamas has been discussing the prospects for a ceasefire in Gaza.
Over the weekend, Hamas's Politburo chief Ismail Haniyeh held talks with Egypt's intelligence boss Abbas Kamal on the course of ongoing negotiations to try and achieve an end to the hostilities in Gaza. The discussion, which was held via phone, came after Israel's Kan Radio reported that Washington had presented a modified version of a prisoner exchange deal that includes a truce between Israel and Hamas. According to the broadcast, the latest offer is based on a proposal approved by the former Israeli War Cabinet and presented by President Joe Biden back in May. Qatari and Egyptian negotiators, along with the United States, are pursuing a prisoner exchange deal and hoping to clinch a second truce between Israel and Hamas. Israel has been carrying out a massive offensive in the Gaza Strip in reprisal for a Hamas rampage last year, during which about 1,200 people were killed and 250 others were kidnapped. Elsewhere, three Hezbollah men have been killed in an Israeli airstrike in the southeast village of Hula. Reports suggest an Israeli drone targeted a building in Hula, causing serious damage to neighboring property. Tensions along the Lebanon-Israel border escalated last year following a barrage of rockets launched by Hezbollah towards Israel in solidarity with Hamas's attack on Israel. Israel then retaliated by firing heavy artillery towards southern Lebanon. Since the start of the confrontations on both sides of the border between Lebanon and Israel, 553 people have been killed, including 356 Hezbollah members and 100 civilians. That's according to the Lebanese security and medical forces. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And the last country Pope Francis prayed for this morning as he called for peace worldwide was Myanmar, a country that has recently been classified as the most violent in the world, according to the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project. Facing its biggest challenge since its 2021 coup against Nobel laureate Aung San Suu Kyi's government, Myanmar's military is caught up in multiple low-intensity conflicts and grappling to stabilise a crumbling economy. In recent news, Western countries have imposed multiple financial sanctions on Myanmar's military, banks and associated businesses. The UN's rapporteur on Myanmar's human rights, Tom Andrews, reported on Wednesday that while international efforts to isolate the junta appear to have dented its ability to buy military equipment, it still imported $253 million worth of weapons, dual-use technologies, manufacturing equipment and other materials in the 12 months to March. Myanmar's central bank denies the report, saying financial institutions under the bank's supervision followed prescribed procedures. And during his Sunday Angelus this morning, Pope Francis reflected on the gospel account of the miraculous healing of a woman with a hemorrhage and the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead. Christopher Wells reports.
Egli non discrimina nessuno, perché ama tutti.
God does not discriminate against anyone because he loves everyone, Pope Francis said at the Angelus on Sunday morning. The Holy Father based his reflection on the two intertwined miracles in the day's gospel, the healing of a woman with a hemorrhage when she touched Jesus' cloak, and Jesus taking the hand of Jairus' daughter as he raised her from the dead. The Pope emphasized the significance of physical touch in the two stories, both of which involved people who were considered ritually unclean. Even before the physical healing, the Pope explained, Jesus challenges a religious misconception, according to which God separates the pure on one side and the impure on the other. Pope Francis invited the faithful to fix this image in their hearts.
Dio uno che ti prende per mano e ti rialza.
God is one who takes you by the hand and lifts you up, one who lets himself be touched by your pain and touches you in order to heal you and give you life again. Despite all the sufferings of this life, the Pope said, and even in the face of sin, God does not keep us at a distance. Instead, God draws near to let himself be touched and to touch us. and he always raises us from the dead.
Fratelli e sorelle, guardiamo al cuore di Dio.
Pope Francis invited the faithful to look to the heart of God precisely because we need a church and a society that does not exclude anyone, that does not treat anyone as impure, so that everyone, each with their own story, might be welcomed and loved without labels or prejudices. I'm Christopher Wells.
And finally, on Saturday, the first day of their Light and Faith UK tour, the Vatican cricket team faced off against the England seniors. The venue was the stupendous Wormsley Estate, home to one of the most beautiful cricket grounds in England. The Vatican side played two 20-over matches against England's first and second senior teams, both composed of players of over 60 years of age. The England first had just returned from Chennai, India, where they had reached the finals of the World Cup. During these matches, Joseph Tullock spoke to England seniors manager Paul Bradley and to Richard Merriman, the captain of the England side.
It's a unique fixture for majority of people. I've had the pleasure and honour to play against Father Raymond and the team quite a few times, and we come out to Rome. We have a team called Pax Omnibus. But today is special in that this is the 10th Light of Faith tour for the Vatican. They've come to the UK, and it's an honour and a privilege for us to play against them, especially at an iconic cricket ground like Wormsley. What a fantastic place to play.
Anything to add to that?
For guys who are in the England cricket seniors who are 60 years plus of age, there's not only the physical well-being of being involved in these sort of games, but the mental well-being is also extremely important. So it's special in all sorts of ways.
It's about the sport, of course, but it's also about more than the sport. It's about building bridges, it's about community.
Totally, and in the past I've been very actively involved with Christians in sport, and indeed travelled to India with them to play cricket there as well. And the faith and engagement in this comradeship and building bridges and relationships in a world which is based on diversity and aggression and anger is so important that we do these things. So all power to the team and what they're doing, because it makes a difference.
I think one of the things we do, whichever country we go to, we get involved in the local community. And that in India, we did some work with an orphanage for street children. In Barbados, we did some work with a local primary school and a centre for displaced youths. So we actually immerse ourselves in the culture, and we look to give something back. It's always important. It's not just playing cricket, it's what we can actually do.
And for those of you curious about the results of those matches, the Vatican batted first in the initial match and started strongly but struggled to capitalise on this early success. It set a final total of 105 runs, which England were able to chase down after 14 overs. In the second match, the Vatican gave up a few early wickets but recovered exceptionally, setting a final total of 133. The match came down to the last over, with England scoring the winning run with only 3 balls to go. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit vaticannews.va, and you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Many thanks go to Daniele Giorgi, our sound engineer in studio. In the Vatican, I am Francesca Merlo.